I remember one of the literary works that I read during my schooling years was The Count of Monte Cristo. It was a classic story that was offering the viewpoint of the one who was betrayed and the thought process about how it is that he would exact revenge against his three friends who were envious of his life. When the protagonist has everything taken away from him, we see how desperate he gets to be and how he wants to have that injustice that was done on him rectified. This is something that undoubtedly speaks to many of us, this innate desire to make sure that justice has been served. Jesus, we know, had everything taken from him. His friends abandoned him. He was left to the crowd to fend for himself as they were crying for his crucifixion. He not only was scourged, having his flesh torn open and ripped, but then he died. And after he died, adding insult to injury, a soldier came and with a spear thrusted it into his side to make sure that he was dead. And we know Jesus, as we celebrated in Easter, made the ultimate recovery. He didn't just simply come back to life in the body in which he had. He didn't come back and then experienced all the pains and the aches that his body had endured with the passion. You know, he comes back with a renewed body, with a glorified body, the resurrected body. And so what does Jesus do, right, when he comes forth from the tomb? You know, does he lift up the rock that held him in the tomb and smash it against the soldiers? Or does he take the soldiers and put him in the tomb and seal the tomb? Does he go over to where Pontius Pilate was and string him by the toes and put him hanging upside down, you know, let him suffer? Jesus goes to his disciples and says, "Peace be with you." Now, it's an amazing thing that Jesus says something like this to his apostles. You know, this just goes beyond more than a Jesus greeting. You know, maybe we think that's just how Jesus spoke, you know, instead of, "Hi, how are you? What's up?" He says, "Peace be with you," right? And, you know, he says this very intentionally. You know, while we hear the disciples in the gospel rejoicing the fact that they have seen the risen Lord, we got to think, well, what did the apostles do, you know, before Jesus died? And we think, well, it was the Last Supper. Jesus established the gift of the Holy Eucharist with them. Or how about Peter, James, and John that accompanied Jesus to the Garden of Gethsemane? Well, the last thing, really, that the apostles did was abandon him. You know, as Jesus underwent his passion, crucifixion, and death, you know, no one except John, you know, was there present to console Jesus. And so you got to think that perhaps the apostles were also having a bit of remorse, a bit of fear in their hearts. After all, they weren't there for him when he needed them. And here he is now, back. What were they to think? And so, very beautifully, Jesus speaks to them twice, and then with the accompaniment of Thomas, a third time, "Peace be with you." To let them know and impress upon their hearts that this is Jesus' intent as he comes back. So much so that, right, he breathes on them the Holy Spirit for what purpose? You know, it wasn't again for them to say, "All right, we've been done wrong. Let's go back at them. Fueled with the fire of the Holy Spirit, let's call down fire." You know, right? Like the sons of thunder. You guys are thinking about that before? Well, we're going to do it now, right? It's time to strike back. And Jesus says, "Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Jesus all the while speaks to us of mercy. Undeserved mercy. It's far easier for us to dwell upon thoughts of revenge against some injustice that was done to us, or some injustice that was done to our family, to our friends. And much more difficult and actually godly and divine to think of forgiveness and mercy. Jesus came back not to exact vengeance, but came to relay the Father's will that all be reconciled back to Him. That all, recognizing their need for repentance, come back to God so as to receive not this scolding, this judgment, this punishment, but to receive that undeserved mercy. This Sunday is Divine Mercy Sunday, where we recall how Jesus had revealed in private revelation to Saint Faustina Kowalska how he wanted this day in particular, the second Sunday of Easter, to be recognized as a day in which glorifies his mercy. And in this way, he has tied to this very special graces, as recorded in the Journal of Saint Faustina, saying that as long as we have a heart that is contrite and humble, that seeks to turn back to God and away from sin, to receive the particular graces, all that is necessary would be to come and receive our Lord Jesus worthily in Holy Communion. So that means being in a state of grace, not living in mortal sin or having any unconfessed mortal sins, and then to perform works of mercy this day. There is something in addition to that, and through the authority of the Church, by the Pope, Pope St. John Paul II, had authorized that there be a plenary indulgence on this day, and made the indulgent act to be participating in some kind of public devotion to the Divine Mercy in church. And then there's also the regular requirements for seeking any plenary indulgence that is going to confession, either 20 days, within 20 days before or after the indulgence day, and then receiving the Holy Eucharist in a state of grace. There's actually more specifics in the bulletin. If you have anyone that you know that's homebound, they can also participate in receiving these graces. And so today, with the Divine Mercy Missionary Center over in Memphis, Deacon Alan Guaz at 2 o'clock is going to be leading individuals in prayer, devotions, praise and worship, adoration. It's just going to be a beautiful time, I think from 2 o'clock to 4 o'clock, in which to receive all of those graces. But sometimes I know that's, you know, some individuals have a, you know, they already have something scheduled or they're not able to do that. So I'm going to make it dirt simple. So if you want the plenary indulgence after Holy Mass, after the closing hymn, I will lead us in the recitation of the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. We'll pray that, and that will satisfy the plenary indulgence. You know, so we'll have that available to those who would desire it. And the plenary indulgence, of course, is something that is applicable to either yourself or to someone who has died. So we offer that plenary indulgence for that individual. So we give thanks to God, really, that, you know, our ways are not His ways. You know, and thanks be to God that Jesus didn't come back like the Count of Monte Cristo. In response, we should not only take advantage of so great a gift, but also go out and remember that we are agents of His mercy.